Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. In the summer of 1990, paleontologist Pete Larson and his team from the Black Hills Institute in Hill City unearthed a T-Rex skeleton in western South Dakota near Faith. It was the largest, most complete Tyrannosaurus rex ever found, and the dinosaur was nicknamed Sue after Sue Hendrickson, who discovered the bones. But 2 years later, the Institute was raided by federal agents and the National Guard, and Sue was hauled away from Hill City and eventually auctioned off to the highest bidder. And in a court case that followed the battle over Sue, Pete Larson was sentenced to 2 years in prison. Director Todd Miller tells the story in the film Dinosaur 13. It's based on the book Rex Appeal by Larson and his former wife, Kristen Donnan-Standard. And after film festival screenings, Dinosaur 13 is now opening at theaters nationwide tomorrow, including the Washington Pavilion in Sioux Falls. And Pete Larson joins us on the line. And Pete, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here, Carl.
Well, what's it been like having this story told on the big screen?
It's pretty cool. I've gone to a number of the screenings, including Sundance, and people really appreciate the work that Todd did in putting this together. I think a lot of people from Hill City got to see it during the Black Hills Film Festival, and it was played both in Hill City and in Rapid City at that time. And it's back at the Elks also, by the way, in Rapid City, and it's going to be opening in Mitchell as well. But it's a little nostalgic. Also, it's kind of emotional in some instances, of course, because it was quite a journey that the people here in Hill City went through.
Yeah, I'm wondering, having this story told, it's a very, there's some very personal parts of your life that are up there for everyone to see.
Yeah, and many ways, it's watching my kids, my three kids who were quite young at the time, and now I have a fourth one that wasn't even born then. Watching them watch the movie, they really have a much better understanding of what happened in those times, and certainly I'm happy to contribute whatever I can to that too, because I think it's an important story and important lessons for a lot of people.
Well, take us back to that summer of 1990. How was Sue found?
It was sort of, in some ways, an accident. We were all actually out exploring on the adjoining ranch, two ranches, one owned by Morris Williams and his brother, Sharkey Williams. And we were, finding some pretty cool stuff. And Susan went for a walk one foggy morning, a little bit longer story that comes out in the movie there, but she came upon these pieces of bone coming out of the cliffside on a cliff on Morris's land, and brought me back two pieces of bone, which I was able to very quickly determine were from the inside of Tyrannosaurus rex vertebrae. And so we ran back to the site, and it was from that moment on, it was just a wonderful, marvelous experience. And being able to unearth this fantastic dinosaur, I'm probably one of the luckiest people in the universe.
So you knew right away that this was a pretty significant discovery.
Oh, it was very clear, and you can see in the videos. I'm pretty confident. I guess you might call me the eternal optimist, and usually works out pretty well.
Well, in the film, in talking about where Sue was found, you said that this was probably the worst place to find it in regards to the eventual confusion over who owned what was found on that land. What was some of the confusion?
Well, the property was owned by Morris Williams, but he put that particular portion into trust. He had quite a large ranch. In that particular section, I don't know if he had an entire ranch put in trust. I didn't actually realize that it was in trust at the time that we got permission to collect the fossil, but we did know that he owned it, because that's the records at the courthouse showed that, and also showed that he had leased it out for oil exploration. So we were pretty confident he owned the property. But it turns out that particular parcel was put into trust. Normally, I probably would have proceeded the same way, because I figure, well, he owns the land and it should be fine. But it turns out, through a long court battle, custody battle, that the judge ruled that the fossil was actually real estate. And because it was real estate and had been in trust, but you have to, I know it's confusing, but the whole case is confusing. because it was real estate and held in trust, Morris had to get permission from the Bureau of Indian Affairs before selling his, quote, land or, you know, fossil.
You talk about all the confusion 20-plus years later after all the legal battles. Are things any clearer regarding the ownership of fossils and bones, especially those found on reservation and trust lands?
Yeah, so there. I mean, it's a very complicated. It turns out to be a lot more complicated than what any of us really imagined. And so, when you are collecting fossils, you have to get permission from the landowner. That's very clear, and that always was clear. We were always very careful about that, and we thought we had covered all our bases. But you know, we couldn't foresee the ruling that Sioux would be considered real estate, the fossil.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with the paleontologist Peter Larson about the movie Dinosaur 13, which is opening in Sioux Falls and Mitchell and Rapid City. And one of the things that comes out in Dinosaur 13 is how important this was, not just to you and your team and the Black Hills Institute, but to the city of Hill City itself.
Yeah, the when the government came in to seize Sioux with 35 FBI agents and the National Guard and Bureau of Indian Affairs and Department of Interior and the Forest Service and Park Service, it was a pretty scary time for the city. And this was the city's had really gotten behind our museum, the Black Hills Museum of Natural History and Black Hills Institute, and they during the 3-day seizure they started protesting. And And that didn't end. That didn't end even after the 3 days. We have, you know, one of the most wonderful things, experiences in my life is how awesome human beings are and how fantastic this community is where we live. All these people banded behind us and, you know, felt like we did that this dinosaur was so important, and important to science and important to the community. And what was happening was wrong. And so it's, you know, I can't begin to tell you how grateful I am for all of those awesome people that stood behind Sue the dinosaur and behind us.
What is especially heartbreaking in watching the old footage is the kids who were just devastated when Sue was being carted away.
Yeah, there's that one scene that I've seen the movie maybe a dozen times now with the various screenings and stuff we've done, and every time I cry every time I see that. It's just heartbreaking.
What makes this film really work is that there's so much documentary footage, including the discovery, or not long after Sue Hendrickson discovered the T-Rex, that you get to see what was happening as you do this, and then see the protest. And I'm wondering if Todd Miller, the director, would have even been able to put together this film if all that hadn't existed, if all that footage wasn't there.
Well, his original plan was to do a dramatization of a lot of that stuff. Of course, that would have been a relatively expensive thing to lay out a T-Rex skeleton and have people pretending they're taking it. As Todd always says, we're pack rats. We keep everything. And of course, as scientists, we document what we do. And so we had video and still photos, 35-millimeter photos, and they were able to use, Todd was able to put those together to help tell the story in a very effective way. You wouldn't think that this old, half-inch VHS tape would look very good on the big screen, but you'll be amazed. You know, he was able to really use it in a very, very effective way.
How much of this film is based on the book that you co-wrote, Rex Appeal?
Basically the whole film. There's a few interviews that Kristen was not able to get that are part of the movie that Todd, we both encouraged him to do his own research as well, because it was important to us that the true story be told. It didn't necessarily have to be exactly what's in the book, as long as it was true. And any added facts that he could put in were very, very useful and very, I think, very helpful in the way he told the story.
Do you think it gives a complete picture of what happened? There's a review on the National Geographic's website of Dinosaur 13 that's a little bit critical of the film for being too one-sided and not questioning the motives of the protagonists, which are, well, that's you and the others.
Well, if you look at the bulk of the reviews, are awesome. Brian Switek is, for some reason, has kind of a different attitude than most of the other reviewers. So, I suggest that people look at other reviews as well. So, you can't tell his whole story, number one, but I think he was very thorough in telling, because it's just too long and too complicated, in telling the story in 95 minutes. You know, something that took 10 years to happen. 95 minutes is not enough time to tell the story. But he has, he was very thorough in talking to Bob Mandel, one of the prosecutors in the case, who was, by the way, he interestingly enough, he and I are pretty friendly. I always thought he was very professional in what he was doing, unlike Kevin Schieffer and another prosecutor who's still prosecuting in South Dakota. So he was very open with Todd and provided him a lot of information. Vince Santucci, a Park Service employee, also awesome human being, and gave Todd lots of information. The fella, trying to remember, Keith Nelson, IRS investigator, also was able to tell his side of the story very well in the movie. And so I think that it's pretty hard to, I think that that's an incorrect statement that it was, I mean, certainly it was told from the eyes of the Institute and not from the eyes of the prosecution, but other than that, I think Todd did a very fair and balanced telling of the story.
I'm wondering what the loss of Sue and the ensuing legal battles, even though this was a couple of decades ago, I'm wondering what sort of impact that has had on you, your brother Neil, and the Black Hills Institute.
Well, we won. Here we are. We're still alive. The museum is still alive. The Institute is still alive. We have more dinosaurs per square inch than any museum in the world, sitting right here in Hill City, South Dakota, in our exhibit area. And I think that that's a testament to the wonderful job that our defense attorneys did, and a wonderful, wonderful community that supported us, both the local community and the museum community, the people who actually get exhibits from us, supported us through this really horrendous situation. And so, you know, we feel pretty fortunate to have had that wonderful group of people behind us.
So it did nothing to dampen your lifelong fascination with dinosaurs and paleontology and collecting fossils and doing more research.
No, it absolutely did not. You know, and in fact, we had we got such wonderful support from people all over the world. It probably helped us. Certainly, in the long run, we would not have been here this way, have been as successful as we are without Sue. So, you know, there's good and bad, and you have to pay attention when the bad stuff's happening, because there's wonderful stuff happening at the same time too. It's just a statement of what your friends and the community can do to help other people. And you know, it was just I'm one of the luckiest human beings on the planet.
And Sue's home is the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago. And I don't know if you said this in film or elsewhere, but this is, you say it's what, probably the, if it's not going to be in Hill City, this is probably the best place for it to be.
Yeah, it's certainly the, you know, could be probably the second best place it could be. We, of course, would like to have it here. Just a kind of a heads up, we've been having talks with the Field Museum, and in an effort to bring a cast of Sue's skeleton back to South Dakota, back to our museum, and it may happen. Everybody keep your fingers crossed. Wouldn't it be wonderful to get a part of Sue back in South Dakota?
One of the things I've noticed both in the movie and talking with you today is just the the lack of bitterness regarding what happened. You know, is that just the very nature of who you are, or is it just you know, that you just accept what life deals?
Well, I'm the eternal optimist, so that's part of it. But also, you know, it was very important to me to take this bit of my life to get over any bad feelings I might have to anybody about it. There's, you know, you can't go back and relive your life, but you can look at it retrospectively in a way that's useful. Being bitter has absolutely no use. It will do no good. And so if you can look at things in an optimistic way, in an up way, if you will, you know, it makes life a whole lot better. And you know, it's just I guess just something that I worked very hard at, but I'm very happy that I did, and I think I was hopefully successful.
And now that the movie Dinosaur 13 is going nationwide, I'm assuming that'll bring you more attention. And what would you like to see happen with you know, what this might mean for paleontology and just the interest in the work that you do?
Well, there's a lot of issues in paleontology that need to be brought to the forefront. There's issues of course, we don't want to have a bunch of paleontologists arrested, and that's a definite possibility that could happen. When we want to work to make sure that this new law that's been enacted as an amendment to the Appropriations Act in 2009 is not administered in a way which is detrimental to the science of paleontology. Other things that are important to paleontology is the issue of keeping science in schools a science class, not adding religion to that science class. It's perfectly fine for people to have certain religious beliefs, but those religious beliefs do not have a place in science. And the mere presence of fossils in this world tell us that the Earth is an old Earth, and it tells us that the Earth is a fragile Earth. Every different geologic age is a representation of an extinction event or marks extinction events. We, as a society, as a race, as a species on this planet, have a responsibility to all the other species to keep them alive, and to not treat our planet with disrespect, to not use up our resources because, quote, the world is coming to an end soon anyway. So it's very important for us to safeguard what we are have the power to harm. We do not have the power to extinguish life on this planet, but we do have the power to really screw it up.
All right, Pete, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us again on Dakota Midday.
My pleasure.